Grace and peace to you. Friends, hello. It's good to see you. A question for you. What's on your bookshelves? Not the hidden away functional bookshelves in an upstairs room, but what's on your bookshelves that other people might see? What are on the shelves that appear behind you on a video call or in a room where you entertain family and friends? The contents of such bookshelves that have either naturally appeared as such or been curated for a Zoom background often tell us about who we are. Here's an insight into my bookshelves. This is by no means all of them, but a few of the shelves at various heights in my study. The Beano, the joy self-explanatory. There's far more shelves of Lego than I'd think is reasonable. Maths, my first love and my first degree. And I still engage in recreational maths. Church history. I somehow fell in love with church history, in particular the paintings and architecture of pre-Reformation churches. I love the prophets and the context in which they speak. And theology, important words about how we understand God. And the compact commentaries. A place to start looking at tried and tested understandings of the readings that we find in the Bible. Friends, those seven pictures tell you a lot about me. Not everything, but quite a lot. In our reading today, we get a far more compact description by Jesus quoting the prophet Isaiah about what his ministry is going to be all about. So let's hear that now. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes on everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. These are the first words spoken by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. This is the first point that we hear in the first person from Jesus about what will follow in his ministry. It could be argued that the words that Jesus speaks in quoting the prophet Isaiah, it's the crib sheet for what Christianity is all about. Jesus says he's been anointed, chosen to bring good news to the poor, a phrase we often shorten just to good news. The good news, something that's often said in Christian places. But what is it? What is the good news and what does it mean? In Jesus' own words, quoting Isaiah, he says the good news is to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery for sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. This is what you'd read on the wall behind Jesus if you're in a Zoom meeting with him. This is what he wants us to know about him. Jesus and all that follows, all that he does in his ministry, execution and resurrection, fulfill this. Good news that's practical and political. There in the literal understanding, but also the nuanced contextual understanding that changes the status quo. If we look at our own context, our own lives and the society we live in, these words from Jesus change everything. We live in a way that's bound up in the social convention of capitalist consumerism, seeking possessions and power to prove our worth. We live in a way that punishes others, that punishes those who don't fit in, and punishes those who repeat the mistakes of the ages. And oddly enough, this is similar context into which Jesus speaks nearly 2,000 years ago. The good news of which Jesus speaks is that he, the divine creator of all things, has become human like you and like me, and is here to show that the world can and will be different. The good news is that the kingdom of God, that their self-interest, especially at the expense of others, is to be overturned. We're to live in a way that focuses on what is just and right for others. The good news of God is that in the kingdom of God, social convention, where we seek to accumulate possessions and power, is to be overturned, and we're to live in a way that seeks the best for others. The good news of God is that the kingdom of God is where punitive and oppressive measures are overturned and replaced with ways that are restorative and freeing. This is what's important to Christ. And as followers of Christ, as Christians, we're to try to emulate this. So let us live in a way that is just, where the hungry are fed, where we welcome those seeking refuge and the abused are given shelter. Let us defy social expectation and live in a way that values and loves all people for who they are, seeking the best for them because that is right. Let us work together to give new life to those who've been caught up in the criminal justice system. And let us free people from the life situations that crush their hopes and dreams. Let us follow Christ's example and live in a way that shows what is important to him is also important to us. Let us proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Go and share the good news. Go and give sight to the blind, free the prisoner, release the oppressed. Go and live a life of love.